Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Really excited about just getting to share this with you because it's really flowing. This is a message that is honestly flowing out of me quite a bit, and I wanted to kick it off by just quickly watching this quick clip.
I'm not afraid.
Yeah. You will be. You will be.
Awesome. If you didn't hear the very first part there, he says, I'm not afraid. You remember that from Luke Skywalker saying that? I'm not afraid. And Yoda says,
you will be. You will be.
I love that. I love that little clip. I don't even know why, but that just kind of stands out to me. And it is a little teeny weeny bit relevant for today's message, just a touch. Which is kind of funny. That is kind of a joke. Okay, you guys, it's all good. No, I tell you what, this message really is going to flow out of me. There's four books that I'm always studying. This is how I think about things. I was thinking I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to quick say it. There's four books that I'm always studying. I'm always studying the book of the Bible, okay? I'm always studying the book of the Bible, which many of you think that's the only one you probably should need to study. But there's a couple other books, they're not really books, that I'm always studying too. I'm always studying the book of our culture. Okay, the book of our culture, watching just kind of what's going on in our culture. I'm always studying the book of our congregation, okay? What's going on in our congregation, what's happening? And then I always study the book of self. There's kind of a book of the self. And honestly, each of my messages or sermon series at times often is flowing from one of those that gets a little more kind of weight to it at times, right? Our culture might have something happen, and so we kind of lean in to speak into that. Something from God's word just might really pop at me. Okay, let's lean into that. Maybe it's our congregation is going through something. Maybe we lean into that. This today, I'm just telling you this for this purpose, today is flowing out of the book of self, quite honestly, a lot. Okay, this is coming out of something that God spoke into kind of my life. And I honestly, maybe it was just for me. And so maybe I'm not supposed to say this today, but I just feel like it kind of so I needed it. And I was like, I'm just going to share it with y'all as well. And so that's kind of what's going on today with today's message. Next week, when we launch into our new series on Joshua, which I'm so excited about, right? It's going to be really flowing from the book of the Bible, really from the book of Scripture. And what's going on with this Joshua dude in Israel and what's going on there? I'm so excited for next week in our series. Today, a lot of it's flowing from the book of self. So that's what we're going to do. I want to look at Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 is the text that we're going to be spending some time with and really what God had revealed to me, okay? Starting at verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, I love that, offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant, I've chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not. I love that. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just surrender this time to you now. We desire for you to speak to us. Speak to all of us, God, as you spoke to me, that we might hear from you this morning, from your word, what meeting us right where we need to be today. Please, Lord Jesus, let there not be more said than needs to be said, and may we simply hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I don't know if you kind of picked up on in the text what needs to stand out for you, whatever it was for you, whatever. For me, that fear not. Let me ask you this question. When have you been the most afraid? When have you been the most afraid in your life? I've had some time to think about this. So I just want to give you just a minute to kind of ponder that a little bit. When have you been the most afraid? when I think about it for me, I think of, honestly, quite a few different situations and scenarios. One that I kind of couldn't shake, and so I was just going to quick share, is when I was about 12 years old, I was at a softball game with my family. Did a lot of softball and stuff growing up. And I was at a softball game, and my dad and my brothers, older brothers, were playing. And the game got over, and so my family was going to be sticking around for a little bit after the game to watch some other games. And my older brother, one of my older brothers, gets on his motorcycle, and he's going to head home. And so he heads out. Well, I have some family, some cousins of mine are volunteer firefighters, and they had gotten on the radio that there was a motorcycle accident on this road that's kind of near where my brother would have been going. And so honestly, I can't remember from that moment of kind of hearing that to the next moment that I remember. I don't remember how long it was. I don't remember what exactly happened. But that's all I remember is then fast forward a couple minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it was to my cousin coming up and saying, yeah, it was Luke. It was my brother that had been in the motorcycle accident. And I just remember getting in our car, and I just remember my dad driving so fast to the hospital. I mean, we were flying. I remember my mom like, we're going to all die too, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we were heading to the hospital, and I can remember that. I remember being very afraid, like, man, motorcycle accident and very scary situation. I mean, he's going 70 miles an hour and never touched the brakes, T-boned a lady who pulled out in front of him around a really kind of dangerous corner that, he never touched the brakes and hit the windshield and went flying, and very scary night. That's scary. And I was thinking about that. I was like, man, that's a moment where I was just really afraid. I was just afraid. Is he going to be alive? Is he going to live? And some of you have been through those kinds of things. And for my brother, he's actually okay. But for some of you, those stories turned out very different. Man, fear. Fear. For me, what I needed is probably the past month or maybe even just a little longer, I've been just kind of going through some kind of anxiety is what I was saying to people. When people are asking me, how are you doing? I would say, I'm kind of anxious. I got some anxiety about just different things and just kind of life. Most of it just always with the church plant, right? I get so wrapped up in so much of what goes on here and so much with making sure family, you know, all the different things of making sure, you know, separating time good between family, church, all this kind of stuff, right? Jobs. And so anxiety, and as I was thinking about anxiety, I really had been identifying it as anxiety. And it was literally not this past Friday, the Friday before that I opened up to this Isaiah text, and the thing that I read, the first thing I read is, fear not. And as I heard that, I was starting to think about, like, fear not, don't fear, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And I started to wonder, well, maybe I've been, you know, I've been using the word anxiety, but maybe I've been afraid. Maybe I've been actually fearful about things because this word was saying, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Fear not. This morning, I just want to ask you, like, are you, and maybe not, maybe I misread this from the Holy Spirit that this needed to be a word shared today because I needed that. Fear not. I just guess I want to ask you, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of today? What do you fear? What do you fear? What's got you laying awake at night? What you been thinking about? Anybody? I mean, I'm not saying you got to share. Although, honestly, you probably could, if you wanted to. What have you been afraid of? Are you staying awake at night? Are you afraid of what's going on in a certain relationship? And I don't know, those dynamics could be. Those dynamics could be a lot of things. Maybe with a child, you're afraid of how they're kind of where they're kind of going in life. Maybe it's afraid of a parent who's getting older. Maybe you're afraid and you get nervous about things like diseases and cancer. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of finances not being there? Really afraid of I just don't know if we're going to have enough money this month. Is that it? I mean, I'm really asking, is it financial? Is it relational? Is it, what is it?
I actually fear the most when things are going really well and waiting for the shoe to drop.
Yeah, I like that, actually. Thanks for sharing that. Sometimes things are going so well, which can actually make us afraid. Like, no, this can't last. Something bad's going to happen. You know? You got something?
Yeah.
What's up?
I lay awake at night.
Yeah.
Wondering. I know I can't question what God does.
Uh-huh.
But I wonder sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff happens to kids that shouldn't be happening to all these kids.
Yeah. Yeah, Taz, that made my list too. Fear of children, fear of my own kids, and you start looking around at the evil in this world and the things that are scary, and man, that happens, and that could happen. Man, protect my kids like crazy, and nothing. I don't want anything to happen. And you start to get afraid of what could happen to your kids. What else? I mean, what else do we be afraid of?
Fear of the unknown.
The unknown. Yeah, I don't know what's coming up. I don't know what's coming up in my life. Like, I can see today and maybe tomorrow, but I don't know what's up next week. I don't know what's up next month. I got some stuff just that, I don't know. Are you afraid of wars? I got a sister who's afraid of, like, the world news stuff. You know what I mean? Is anybody in the room like that kind of? You know, you watch, you got to almost, like, not watch it because you're just, you know, make you afraid. What are you fearful of? People, everything? Yeah, okay, thank you for sharing that. That's so powerful, though, because thank you for that. Honestly, that actually is affirmation a little bit for me, that this needs to be said. Yeah, I'm afraid of everything. There's a lot of stuff that I'm afraid of. Thank you. Wow. What are you afraid of today? What is it that just like, I am scared of death? Diseases. You know, am I going to be successful? Will I make it? Whatever that it is. Can't have kids. Can we even have kids? Will I get married? Will I find that special someone? Fear, 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 fear. On every corner, there's fear. There just always seems to be fear going on. And God meets us right there, and he says this phrase. He says, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Now, what is that? Fear not. Fear not. Don't fear. He meets us right in our fear, right in our, I'm afraid of everything. And he says, fear not. Fear not. See, the things that we fear, the things that we fear are the problems in front of us that are so big that we can't control it. See, when you lose control, when you lose control of something, that's when we begin to be afraid. If you can control something, well, then you're not afraid, right? I mean, if you're able to control this relationship or control this thing or make this thing happen, we're not afraid of those situations. We're only afraid in the situations and the problems that are in front of us that look so huge. The mountain is so giant that you start to lose control. There, back in my town of Wisconsin, there's a hill called Franklin Hill. I tried to find a picture of it. I couldn't find a picture. Franklin Hill is a hill that I had to go home. I had to take Franklin Hill all the time getting to my house. Well, in the wintertime, Franklin Hill is always just loaded with ice. And most of the time, you got to wait your turn at the bottom till everybody's out of the way, and then you just, whop, right, to get to the top of the hill. And you're just, but sometimes, you make it up about three quarters of the way. And right at that moment, that's freaky. Because right then, you got a couple things, you got a couple choices. One, your immediate response is to go to the brake. But as soon as you tap that brake, your destination is behind you. You know what I'm saying? As soon as you touch that brake, see, if you're from Texas, you don't even know what I'm talking about right now. You're like, I don't get it. I don't get it. What's he talking about, sweetie? You don't even get it. You're from here. You don't even know what ice is. You put it in your sweet tea, and that goes on the road. I'm just trying to make connections for you guys. No, but you're going up, and you start to slide backwards. And as soon as you're sliding backwards, you're out of control. You don't know where you're going. You might go all the way back down. You might have to hit a telephone pole just to slow you down. That's why we got bumps and bruises all on our cars. We're just hitting telephone poles. We're hitting mailboxes. That's all right. We just keep y'all going. And then you just... But my point is when there's a hill in front of you, when there's a problem in front of you that's so big that you don't have control of, we start to get afraid. We start to get afraid. And that's a freaky feeling when you get up there and you tap that brake and you just start going down and you're just like, I don't know where this is going. I'm afraid. And right there, God speaks, fear not. Fear not. And the question I have is like almost, how can he do this? See, in our text today, this book of Isaiah, man, this, I want to get into Isaiah a little bit. We might need to do a series on this. Isaiah is incredible. Right here, as God is speaking this through the prophet Isaiah, it's actually, and we don't know exactly, but probably like 100 years before some of these things are actually taking place, okay? Isaiah is a prophet. Okay, he's almost an evangelist. He's a prophet who's prophesying about some things that are to come. Things like Babylon. Okay, you don't have to know too much here about it, but just Babylon is going to come. It's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. Babylon is going to come in and destroy Jerusalem. It's going to destroy the temple. He even starts to prophesy about Cyrus the Great of Persia, who's going to come in and defeat Babylon. All before this actually ends up happening. All right. And what God is painting in especially some of the early chapters of Isaiah is, Israel, you have some huge hills in front of you. You will have some things coming up in your life that you will be afraid. You're going to be scared about these situations. I mean, Israel having the temple be burned down is like the worst thing ever. And this is what's going to happen. God is telling them, it's going to be rough. And God speaks right into that prophetic word. He speaks, fear not. He speaks this word of something like, fear not, but don't be afraid. And all over God's word, this is what God is saying all over the place. He speaks to Abraham, fear not. He speaks to Isaac and Jacob, fear not. He speaks to someone like Moses, fear not. All over God's word, God is telling his people, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Don't be afraid. All over the place, he says this kind of stuff. I mean, could you imagine, listen to this, could you imagine a life? Could you imagine a life without fear? Could you imagine a life without fear, actually not being afraid? Think about that. Never afraid of anything. Not being afraid. Can you imagine that? I think of a story in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus gets into a boat with his disciples. And they start going across this lake, right? And this incredibly huge storm comes up. Okay? Huge storm. Even the disciples are afraid. Even though they're fishermen and they know exactly what's up, they begin to be afraid. And they actually wake up Jesus and they're like, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and Jesus wakes him up and says, or the disciples wake Jesus up and say, don't you care? We're going to perish. And Jesus stands up, and look at what Jesus says here in Matthew 8. Jesus says, he said to them, Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? He rebukes the wind and the waves. Oh, you have little faith. Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled. They marvel at him, wondering, who is this guy? And I almost wonder if there's a little bit of something like, how can you say that to me? See, I think sometimes in this kind of message, we almost start to ask God back, how dare you tell me to not be afraid? Because what it must equal, what it must mean is that you can't see the problem that I'm really in. You must not be able to see how big the mountain really is. Because if you could see it, then you'd know that you can't ask me to not be afraid. The difference and the problem is that God simply has a different perspective than you, and he doesn't see the mountain the same way that you see the mountain. Man, if we were in an amen church, I'd get something. But like that's, you see what I'm talking about? Do you see what I'm talking about? God sees it in a different way than you see it. And Jesus, what he does, what he's doing with this, is he's saying, see, for you to not be afraid, you need to be in control. In order for you to never be afraid, you'd have to completely be in control of everything. And even then, you in complete control, just ask yourself. No, maybe ask the person sitting next to you, does that freak you out a little bit? See? Do you see what I'm saying there? A couple of you followed that thought. See, that freaks us out. To be in complete control. Maybe not, maybe freaks the person next to you out a little bit. But how dare you, God, tell me? How dare you tell me to not be afraid? But let me ask you this question. What if God, what if, just follow me here. What if God, and this is for those of you who maybe are maybe skeptical and maybe are agnostic or atheist or something in the room too. I just want to ask you this. What if God really is huge? What if, just play a game with me. What if God really is the one true living God? What if he really is the creator of the universe? What if God is really the one who called into existence the water? And he calls into existence the wind? And he called, what if God really is this giant God who's sovereign and is Lord of all the universe? What if God really is like this God who loves you and cares about you so much that he'd be willing to come to actually take upon himself your issues, your problem, your brokenness, your death? What if God really has swallowed up death? What if God really is a gracious God and just pours grace upon grace upon grace into your life? What if he really is that big? Would you have to fear anything? Anything? Would you have to fear it all? If he really is that big, would you have to be afraid in connection and in relationship with him? No. There'd be nothing you have to be afraid of. Say something. And say anything. Say any hill. Say any problem. And it gets met by a God who's bigger. I mean, what if there really is a God who's defeated Satan? What if there really is a God who's defeated death itself? What do we fear? You following me? A little bit? But I fear going hungry. Yeah, but I mean, I get it, and that's bad. But the worst case scenario is you die. But how bad is that in relationship to the God of the universe who's defeated death. Ah, you see what I'm saying? See where I'm trying to go? How bad is it? If God really is who he says he is, anything, is there anything that should make you afraid? And God meets that question with, fear not. Don't be afraid. Look at how he expands on it. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for, why? I am with you. I am who I am. I'm actually kind of a big deal. Okay, a little anchor man there. Kind of a big deal, God says of himself. And it's actually true. And I am with you. I'm with you. Are you kidding me? You're with me, God? You, the creator of the world, you, the one who's gone to the cross for me, you, the one who shed your blood for me, you, the one who rose victoriously in your life and well now, you are actually with me? Yeah. Fear not. Fear not anything. What's the not? Anything. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. And then I love it on, hey, he expands on this a little bit. Check out verse 13. This is just a couple verses later. I just couldn't shake this thought. Look at this. Look at this. And there's so much here. I could preach another 20 on this, but listen, I won't. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. I hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who helps you. I love this picture because I actually went and found a picture of me walking with one of my kids. This is Core, who's now 7 years old. This is years ago, right? And we're going on a walk, and I love this because he's my only kid at this time, and we're just going for a walk. And I love this picture because it's this picture that's described here in this text. I'm the Lord your God who holds, but notice the language that's used. What does he hold? He holds your right hand. He holds your right hand. Now, I actually studied this a little bit, and honestly, where it took me in my study is a little different than in my natural reading of the text. And so I'm just going to share with you what I felt like God was sharing with me. God was sharing with me that my right hand, that's my strong hand. My right hand is my strongest hand. My wife, she's a lefty, right? Her left hand's her strong hand. But for most people, your right hand is the hand you get stuff done with. And I love the fact that in this, it speaks to me. God is saying, give me your right hand. It's interesting. Every time I raise my hands in our church, guess which hand I almost always raise? My left hand. My left hand. I almost always put my left hand up. And I'm telling you, that's actually really challenged me. I know that sounds maybe silly to some of you, but that's really challenged me. Really? Am I going to put my left hand up so I can still have my right hand to do and get done the things that I need to get done so I can stay in control of the things that I can control and manage in my life? No, of course I'm pushing that. That's not what I mean when I'm standing there with my left hand up. But I was thinking about that. Do I actually do that in my life? God, I'll give you my left hand and you can walk with me. No, no, no. Put your right hand up and let him grab onto your strong spot. Let him take hold of the things that actually, yeah, I can control this, I can do this. Ah, maybe you can't. Give it up. See, I think, listen to what I think. This is what I think. I think our fear, our ability to not fear is in direct proportion to what we surrender. There's a relationship there. If I can surrender everything, there's nothing to fear. You following me? If I can push it all in, if I'm playing poker and I go all, if I can surrender every aspect of my life, there's actually nothing to fear. Not when it's in connection to the God of the universe who's bigger than all of it, who sees it from a different perspective. See, the things I hold on to, the things that I'm still trying to manipulate and weave and make happen, that's the stuff we should be afraid of. And see, this is why God is coming to Israel. He's saying, listen, you're going to go through some stuff, but fear not, for I am with you. I'm the one. I'm the one who's going to do some stuff, right? I'm the one who, it is I who say to you, fear not. I am the one who's going to be helping you. I'm going to be the one who ends up raising up, and this is a little bit of history here, but raising up Cyrus the Great, and he will bring you back into Jerusalem. The temple will be rebuilt, but there's even going to be one greater than that. I myself will come down and shepherd my people, right? And we see this with the dwelling of God himself in Jesus. And he comes and he dies and he loves on you and me, and then he sends us his spirit, and his spirit is alive and well even today. Are you kidding me? What do we have to fear? Fear not. Surrender it all. Give me your right hand. Go ahead and put that up again, Lyle. Give me your right hand. I'll walk with you. I'll be the one who flexes my biceps, and I will work mighty deeds in your life. But I'll be the one to do it, God says. You just come for a little walk. See, that's all. Guys, this is all God asks of us, to go for a little walk with him, to be a child. This is why Jesus brings a little child into his midst and he says stuff like, unless you become like a child, you got to become like a little child. Just go for a little walk. God does not ask you to be professor Christian. He doesn't ask you to be perfect, have it all figured out Christian. He doesn't ask you to be, I got to have all this stuff figured out before he'll use me. Are you kidding me? Go read your Bible, just a couple chapters. That's not what he's asking. He's saying, be born again. Little child. You're my son, my daughter. I want to go for a walk with you. Give me your right hand. I'll flex. I'll keep my right hand to protect you. Just look at that. What's going to get in the way right there? What's going to hurt core? Nothing. I won't let it. Nothing's going to hurt him. I'm not going to let anything happen to him. I'm going to protect him. If a dog were to come up or somebody were to try to do something, nah, I'm not going to let that happen. Not a chance. Fear not. The more you hold on, listen, this is, I'm going to leave you with this. The more you hold on, the more afraid you will be. The more you try to get it, God, I'll give you one little finger, but I need the rest of them for all the stuff I got to make happen. See, that's what we do. We give God a finger, you know, not the finger. We give God... you know, the pinky finger or something. And then we try to keep all these so we can do stuff. God's just like, give me your right hand. Give me your strong hand. Let's go for a walk. Wow, I don't know about you. That's what I needed. I needed that big time in my life. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. I hold on to your right hand. Let's go for a walk. Jesus today offers you freedom from fear. He offers you freedom from fear. He's put a spirit inside of you. Not of fear. Check it out. 2 Timothy. Not of fear, but of power, love, self-control, discipline. He's given you a spirit, not of fear, his spirit. He's with you. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he just work in you this next week so that you can live free of fear. Go with him, holding on with your right hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. You're awesome. Have a great week.